This is Diane Horn, your host on the sustainability segment of Mind Over Matters on KEXP Seattle 90.3 FM by mobile app and on the web at kexp.org. My guests this morning are Alberto Rodriguez, Duwamish Valley Advisor for the City of Seattle's Office of Sustainability and Environment, and Paulina Lopez, a South Park resident and manager of the Duwamish Valley Youth Corps. Alberto and Paulina are here to tell us about the Duwamish Valley Action Plan, Advancing Environmental Justice and Equitable Development in Seattle. Welcome.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Happy to be here.
Would you like to begin by saying a few words about the Seattle Duwamish Valley Program?
The Duwamish Valley Program is a place-based effort to advance environmental justice and equitable development in the Duwamish Valley. The Duwamish Valley is located in southwest Seattle, just south of downtown Seattle, and people are mostly familiar with the industrial area, or SoDo, but there are two residential neighborhoods that have been there since before Seattle was even a city. Those neighborhoods are South Park and Georgetown, and most of our work is focused in the residential areas in those two neighborhoods and in the immediately adjacent industrial lands as well. And yeah, you know, our goal is to advance environmental justice and equitable development. In other words, it's basically eliminating those historic and existing inequities, for example, polluted water, polluted air, lack of access to affordable, healthy food, but also to make sure that the communities, I mean, the people that live there, that work there, the industries and the businesses located there, actually benefit from the work that the city is doing in that geographic area and connecting those communities also to the regional and economic prosperity.
So why focus on the Duwamish area? Would you say more?
Sure. Duwamish Valley, it's a special place. I love Duwamish Valley. I've been working there for about 7 or 8 years. And unfortunately, due to a historic legacy of pollution, the communities that live there and that work there and that are located there are disproportionately burdened by many health inequities. I mentioned, you know, polluted water. There's actually a Superfund site, the Duwamish River, Seattle's only river, is a Superfund site, or one of the most toxic places in the nation, designated by the Environmental Protection Agency. And recent studies, which Paulina can actually talk more about that, led by the organization that she works with, actually have highlighted that there's a 13 years life expectancy difference between the neighborhoods of South Park and Georgetown and more affluent neighborhoods within Seattle city limits, such as Laurelhurst or Magnolia. So there's a lot of need. There's a lot of momentum. The communities there are organized and have been advocating for many years. So the city is ready to work with them, collaborate with them, and address those historic inequities.
The Duwamish Valley Action Plan was recently released by the City of Seattle. What is the purpose or goal of the plan?
Like I mentioned, you know, it's advance environmental justice and equitable development. The plan, one of my colleagues actually described it this way, you know, it's kind of like a hybrid of a strategic framework, very high level, but also, you know, a work plan that specifies very detailed strategies and actions. Think about budgets and city departments that are responsible and timeframes, you know, of when we will be actually implementing some of the work in years to come. It's a framework to coordinate and align and guide the city's investments in the Duwamish Valley for years to come. And an important part of that is working, collaborating, co-designing, co-developing solutions with community members.
I would say, you know, as also as a community member, it's a coordinated effort now from the city. And I think that we're very proud of this action plan because we, for years, have been doing a lot of planning. We have been going through a lot as a community. But the plan, we're looking forward to it because it's an action plan. And so it has the responses that we have been asking the city how to coordinate. And now having this plan, you know, knowing who is responsible, how are we going to keep people accountable in the city government, make us feel good because now we feel like we have a response for all these many different things that we have been advocating for.
Would you say more about the communities that are covered by the action plan?
So as Alberto mentioned, the action plan is for the Duwamish communities, the Duwamish Valley communities, which is composed by the two neighborhoods, South Park and Georgetown, and some of the parts also on the Del Ridge area, which are part of the Duwamish Valley, but mostly concentrated in both Georgetown and South Park. Both communities with a lot of similarities, but also with a lot of differences. South Park, very large immigrant refugee community, people of color living there, historically being discriminated by many different things coming from the different levels of government. Georgetown is not as diverse on race, but is very diverse in ages, and also impacted by many of these environmental injustices like air pollution and what Alberto was mentioning as well. So both we work in collaboration with these two communities in the South Seattle area. And yeah, we are looking forward to keep on the work and keep on collaborating with the city to make sure that the plan, it's going to be in alignment with all the efforts that we have put into.
What was the process used to develop the Duwamish Valley Action Plan?
That's a great question, Diane. I'm going to go back to a little over 2 years ago, actually more than that, but to give just a little bit of context and background information, I want to recognize that the communities in the Duwamish Valley have been advocating and working and moving forward many, many, many things for decades. In a more organized, coordinated way, the city came forward in April of 2016. We released the Equity and Environment Agenda, which is our roadmap on how to advance racial equity through our environmental work. So in April 2016, when the mayor released the agenda, he announced the creation of the Duwamish Valley program as one of the first actions to start implementing the four goals of the Equity and Environment Agenda. I came on board in June 2016. So it's a new program, it's a new hire. But one of the first things that we really were intentional about was to go back to more than 20 years worth of community priorities, what the community had worked on already, you know, many community and city-led plans, studies, analyses, assessments, and to try to unearth what were the things that we had already tackled, that we'd heard from the community, but where were those still opportunities, you know, to keep on implementing. We also put together an inventory of programs and projects that were specific to the Duwamish Valley or some of those programs that are citywide, but that touch on Duwamish Valley. And in overlaying those two things, the inventory with the opportunities that were highlighted through the review of documents, we were able to identify near-term actions that we started implementing right away, even before we started creating the Duwamish Valley Action Plan. We were very intentional about not diving into yet another planning process without showing responsiveness, building trust with the community, and implementing, taking advantage of those low-hanging fruit that were already present. We also launched, we in the city internally, we normally call them interdepartmental teams, which is a group of different departments coming together to strategize and collaborate. We renamed it to the Duwamish Valley Action Team. We wanted to convey, not only internally, but externally, that we were about action. And that has been one of the tools or avenues that the city has been able to use more intentionally to collaborate and make sure that we're leveraging, maximizing efforts, and providing multiple benefits through every project and investment that we have in the Duwamish Valley. A few other things that I really want to make sure that I highlight is that our work has been grounded in racial equity. We adopted 6 racial equity outcomes based on the Equity and Environment Agenda and the Equitable Development Implementation Plan that are like our North Stars. We truly are trying to advance multiple, if not all, of those 6 racial equity outcomes through every single thing that the city is doing in the Duwamish Valley. And last but not least, we have been working very closely with the community to actually highlight and make sure that they're stewarding and guiding, co-developing, co-designing things, you know, especially in terms of inclusive community engagement. So we hired community members to co-facilitate, co-design, co-host a lot of the community engagement activities that we hosted last year. And yeah, in June of this year, we were able to release the Duwamish Valley Action Plan. It was almost an 18-month process of collaboration with the community and multiple city departments. And we threw a big party in South Park at the South Park Community Center. We had more than 150 community members there, very diverse group of people. And we are looking forward to continue the implementation of the action plan.
I'm Diane Horn, and my guests are Alberto Rodriguez, Duwamish Valley Advisor for the City of Seattle's Office of Sustainability and Environment, and Paulina Lopez, a South Park resident and manager of the Duwamish Valley Youth Corps. Our topic is the Duwamish Valley Action Plan, Advancing Environmental Justice and Equitable Development in Seattle. And you are tuned to the sustainability segment of Mind Over Matters on listener-powered KEXP 90.3 FM by mobile app, and on the web at kexp.org. Would you give an overview of the priority areas that are covered by the plan?
After reviewing the 20 years worth of documents, we try to make sure that we were using the same language, recognizing, you know, all the work that community members had put into advocating for their priorities. So we highlighted or organized our strategies and actions in 7 priority areas: healthy environment, parks and open spaces, community capacity, mobility and transportation, economic opportunity and jobs, affordable housing, and public safety.
And what are some specific examples of actions in the different priority areas?
I can speak a little bit to that. As Alberto mentioned, this has been a long process, not only with the Duwamish Action Plan, but through prioritizing, you know, the community, coming across with what is really matter for the community right now. And as we all know, as a community, communities change their priorities as they progress on different things. So something, for example, that is here described as the, for instance, healthy environment. We have been looking into, like, what are the ways to mitigate air pollution, for example, and what are things that we can work with the city to mitigate this, and is being tree planting, for example. So something that we have been doing with the support of the Office of Sustainability and Environment is engaging with our youth to plant trees, and how do we make sure that they are getting trained about, you know, understanding the importance of trees, talking to community members on the importance of planting trees as a way of mitigating air pollution and doing these type of things. We have also been working very close with the city on asthma prevention programs. And I think we mentioned at the beginning, but South Park and Georgetown, the highest rates of asthma in the city. So what are the things that we can do together to prevent this? And so we have been working on providing healthy home assessment together. And so the plan is there to help us do this further, going to community and talking about getting air filters, building with the youth these air filters that we will be delivering to the community members as a way to improving indoor air and improving their health as well. Another thing that we've been very busy and has been a very high priority is the improvement of the South Park Community Center. The playground, we've been asking for years, you know, our kids deserve a better place to play, to recreate. And so this plan addresses that, and we're going to be working together. And because we live in South Park, we need to have a park like any other neighborhood in Magnolia or in Laurelhurst that is modern, that is up to the standards for safety for our kids. Public safety, we had unfortunately some crime raising this past 2 years, but there has been an opportunity to hire a public safety coordinator through this effort, and we are very grateful to be able to work with this person coordinating all these efforts, as Alberto said, to have a better, healthier, and safer community. And having an interdepartmental team that is looking into the different things makes sense for us. So it's not this department working on this and working on silos, and then we get overburdened as a community. But now we see the benefits of addressing all these different priorities in a way that makes sense for all the community.
What is the overall timeline for the plan?
Like I mentioned, you know, we started implementing many near-term actions since the program was created in June 2016. I'm going to go back a little bit. The plan, the way it's organized in 3 different major sections, and it's the near-term actions, things that we implemented from 2016 through early 2018. Then we have midterm opportunities. Each opportunity has very specific strategies and actions to it. Think about things that I mentioned before, budgets, you know, who's responsible, timeframes, right? There's 37 of those midterm opportunities, which if you add all the actions, are close to 140. In that, the time frame is 1 to 5 years. So it's basically starting in 2018 through the end of 2022, maybe beginning of 2023. And the last but not least is the long-term strategies that still need a lot of work to be able to put together schedules and timeframes and budgets and responsible. There's 5 long-term strategies that we're looking into, and there's some specific information about those in the action plan.
How does the action plan address structural racial equity?
I would like to highlight that for the city, the action plan reflects a shift to structural racial equity through the work that we do. But we are not claiming that we have achieved structural racial equity. We hope that collaborating with the community first and foremost, but also with partner agencies and philanthropy and nonprofits and community-based groups, we can get there. But there is a lot more work to do in that sense. And I just want to also make sure the people hear that our action plan centers the voices of those that are most affected by environmental injustice or health inequities. And those are mostly communities of color, immigrants, refugees, native peoples, limited English proficiency individuals, and peoples with low incomes. So by centering those voices, we are hoping that we're on the right track to addressing and achieving structural racial equity.
Yeah, that was well said. And I would just add, I think it's all about community capacity, how the plan has been investing on community by training them, engaging with them, having a meaningful way to create a space for the community to voice their concerns, to voice their ideas, and how this could be successful, how the plan can accomplish what the community really wanted. So I think it's more related to like the people that usually didn't get a seat on the table or didn't voice their concerns or ideas because of the lack of language skills or the lack of understanding of the city process. So I think it all relates to that and it reflects the plan. And I think Alberto's being a little humble and saying, you know, like we have engaged with translations and all that. I mean, he hosted karaoke nights in the Vietnamese community and also tea time with Somali communities to really get the grasp of what is it that these are communities that are representing, what is it that they wanted and how did it translate into what could be done with the city planning. So I think all that speaks a lot on the commitment that the city have to further racial outcomes.
You are tuned to the sustainability segment of Mind Over Matters on KEXP Seattle 90.3 FM by mobile app and on the web at kexp.org. I'm Diane Horn, and my guests are Alberto Rodriguez, Duwamish Valley Advisor for the City of Seattle's Office of Sustainability and Environment, and Paulina Lopez, a South Park resident and manager of the Duwamish Valley Youth Corps. Our topic is the Duwamish Valley Action Plan, Advancing Environmental Justice and Equitable Development in Seattle. What specific actions are being taken to address affordability and gentrification in the Duwamish Valley?
Wow, that's the $1 million question. You know, things that we have been able to do so far are supporting an emerging coalition of mostly Latina women, actually, so women of color that came together to start addressing or asking those questions about affordable housing and anti-displacement strategies in South Park and Georgetown. The name that they're using these days is the Duwamish Valley Affordable Housing Coalition. So we were funding them to start organizing and start developing that strategy and that vision. I am happy and super proud to share with you today that the Equitable Development Initiative just released some funds and the Duwamish Valley Affordable Housing Coalition was selected as one of those groups to continue that visioning and developing specific actions and strategies that align with what the community wants to see in South Park and Georgetown. So a little bit of the funding, the emerging Duwamish Valley Affordable Housing Coalition. We're also looking into providing grants and loans to repair households, you know, and homes. We know that sometimes community members cannot afford those repairs and they have to sell their houses and then they're displaced. So we're trying to provide that capacity to avoid that displacement. Going forward, though, and something that I'm very excited about, and there's still much, much work to do, is how we are developing our workforce and increasing access to local contracting and jobs. So our vision, which is a very bold and ambitious one, is to make sure that through every project and investment in the Duwamish Valley, we are contracting locally and hiring locally. A lot more work needs to be done to figure out the specific details for that, but we are envisioning developing our workforce and increasing access to local contracts to be an anti-displacement strategy also.
And thanks for bringing that question out, Diane. I think, you know, now that we are getting a lot of momentum and great works into the community, of course, there is that concern that, okay, now that we're going to have a great community, a cleaner community with much better green spaces and all that, it's obviously going to be, oh, a better place to live for people who can afford, basically. So we have to make sure, and we have had conversations with Alberto and other city representatives, and the plan would only be successful if we work in alignment on designing, like, all these measures that he's talking. You know, we need to keep the community to keep that community there, to enjoy all these great things that are happening. But we need to have a plan, a way of stabilizing them, for them to feel that they belong there. So providing jobs, providing youth opportunities, trainings, and offering them a way to stay and contribute to the economic aspect on their own homes. It's a good way also to keep this plan going positively. So definitely it's something that we're looking into. We're working as an organization through the Duwamish River Cleanup Coalition, supporting this effort, but as a community member as well, making sure that we are talking to the city and saying, this is great and we're super grateful, but we need to be also being aggressive and making sure that people are staying here to enjoy all these good things happening.
What has been accomplished by the Duwamish Valley Action Plan so far?
I can give you some specific examples. I think I've mentioned before that since 2016 through 2018, we actually implemented 50 near-term actions. Those are 50 actions that can be included in the 7 priority areas that we have talked about. So they're very diverse and they vary in terms of the level of investment as well. But we have done some tree canopy engagement that also had aspects of youth capacity building and economic opportunity we're providing. We're basically using the Duwamish Valley Youth Corps as our consultants, you know, to do multilingual inclusive engagement regarding tree canopy enhancements in South Park and Georgetown. There's been improvements to parks and open spaces in both neighborhoods. For example, we just wrapped up some improvements to the Georgetown playfield that had been in the works for a couple of years. We were funding youth programs, but also supporting the South Park Senior Center. There's a pedestrian signal and walkway that was installed a few months ago on Airport Way South in Georgetown. Kudos to those community members that were advocating tirelessly for years for that to happen. We were able to implement it a few months ago. We provided financial support and technical assistance to small merchants. We've connected renters and homeowners to city resources. And we've formed and implemented a public safety task force in both neighborhoods. We've implemented recommendations in South Park already. The recommendations for the Georgetown Public Safety Task Force, we should get them in the next few days or weeks. And we look forward to start working with the community and partner agencies to implement those.
I think also I would like to mention, looking at from the community to the city, I think one of the biggest accomplishments is to be able to have a body like the Duwamish Valley Action Team composed by different departments that are looking into the neighborhood. I think it's a great accomplishment because now we have many different people from the city and different departments looking into the plan and looking into the improvements together, so we can have a better way of dealing with the thing. So I think that's one of the great things from the community perspective, to have a body there. Also to have a person coordinating the effort, it's great. Now Alberto is our 911. We just call him for any things that we have going on. So it's great to have a person in there from the city responding to all this and what to do and what can we do to improve this or that. So it's great to have the attention of the city in that regard. And I just wanted to highlight what he said, that the engagement with the youth has been incredible, to provide the local youth jobs, to provide training, to provide funding. It's been very powerful. I think I've seen how engaged youth can get into the neighborhood, making sure that they develop that sense of belonging to the community. And that is because we have been able to hire them, to train them, to support them, and to offer them a space where they live, but also they understanding and they are being active in their community. So I think that has been some of the great highlights for us.
How will you measure the success of the plan?
We are figuring that out to a certain degree. One of the very exciting opportunities, one of the midterm opportunities that I mentioned earlier, it's specifically about that. It's about developing a holistic set of qualitative and quantitative set of metrics that will allow us to track progress over time, and ideally that will be done for each priority area. So we're looking forward to getting that going. I think something that's going to be very important and that relates more to the qualitative aspect of things is regular check-ins with community members and making sure that we have a process, a system in place where they can bring their voice to the table and truly guide, direct, and steward the implementation of the action plan. So that's something that we look forward to launching later this year, an advisory group of community experts to help us do that.
And I would say for us to beyond what Alberto is saying, I think also the success we will see is how the city is coordinated with other government entities like the port, the King County. So it's all one holistic approach and one commitment from all the different governments that are impacting the community. So I think we are in the progress of that. We're working with the port as well, and we have already had conversations with this city efforts and the Port of Seattle and King County. So I think to have a whole holistic comprehensive plan to address all these different things, that would be also a measurable success on how do we engage and how the actions are going to get done by all these different entities.
Thank you, Paulina, for reminding me about that. In March of this year, we actually were able to convene a dozen of external partners to garner support for the Duwamish Valley Action Plan. So 50 people from 12 different agencies and external partners actually came together. And they have given us already some input about where they see themselves helping us advance the goals and the opportunities, the strategies, the actions, and the action plan. And I think that's incredibly important to highlight. Related to your question about structural racial equity, the city cannot achieve that by itself. First and foremost, we need the guidance and direction from community members, you know, those most affected. But also, we need to make sure that we're truly collaborating and we develop a transformational partnership with our partner agencies and with philanthropy, with community-based groups and nonprofits. We cannot do it alone. And we're super happy that there's a lot of excitement from our external partners in the city to get it done.
Well, what's the message you'd like to leave our listeners with?
Wow, so many. I think as a community, I want to say, you know, that we're really thankful for this milestone that we have accomplished working together with the city of Seattle, having a plan with so many measurables, with coordinated efforts, I think help us to keep them accountable, which is one of the main things that we wanted to. But also, you know, as community, to keep on being a community that has been resilient for the years. It helped us give us that little hope that we needed to keep going. Sometimes as community, we get tired of like the planning and planning, but having an action plan that is actually going to be working on things. And we have seen, I have seen already many of the things happening that brings my hope back. And that keeps me going, getting the word out for more community members to be active and to believe in the process. So I want to say, you know, like recognizing all the burdens that the community has had, recognizing, addressing them, recognizing environmental injustices has been one of the main things that the message that we are going to be addressing for generations to come, and that the community getting together will be able to make changes.
On behalf of the city, you know, I would like to say that we are in, we're committed. It's like from our leader, you know, Mayor Jenny Durkan, to a bunch of my colleagues, you know, at the project level, we all are in this together, and we look forward to developing this partnership and collaboration with the community and other agencies to actually truly implementing and advancing our racial equity outcomes through this program. So let's get it done.
Well, thanks so much for being here. You were just listening to Alberto Rodriguez, Duwamish Valley Advisor for the City of Seattle's Office of Sustainability and Environment, and Paulina Lopez, a South Park resident and manager of the Duwamish Valley Youth Corps. For more information, check on the web at seattle.gov. I'm Diane Horn. Thanks for listening. And be sure to tune in to the sustainability segment again next week on Listener Powered 90.3 FM by mobile app and at kexp.org.